Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your official Happy Man Guide. G-U-I-D-E, Guide. Happy Man Guide, yeah. We are going to be starting the day off with the resumption of a discussion of happiness. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the good news is we can be happy on purpose. Lee Oscar, helping us with that whole matter. The song is entitled Feeling Happy. I tell you, it's something great when you can wake up in the morning feeling happy, especially on those days when the sun is shining brightly, either when you wake up or soon after you wake up, and you're lying there just chilling for a minute, enjoying the waking up process. And it seems like as your spirit is just becoming more and more awake and alive to the day, the sun is shining more and more brightly at the same time. It's almost like you and the sun are coming to life at the same time. I tell you what, it is great when we can experience happiness. And let me just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, even with all the drama that's going on around the world, across the country, we can still experience happiness. And I think it is great that we can do it on purpose. So let's begin the discussion again that we started on Monday of this week with a lot of help from Help Guide as we look at happiness and some steps that we can take to experience happiness deliberately. Yes. It's interesting that so many of the good things that we experience in life require effort. And you can best believe that even when it comes to experiencing happiness, effort is required, but it is well worth the effort. So let's take a look at what we can do. By the way, what steps did you put into play that helped you experience a little bit more happiness this week since the conversation we had on Monday, those of you who were with us then, or maybe even some of the conversations we've had in years past, months past? What have you put into play? That's what this program is about. It's not just about hearing the discussions, whether with guests or solo. It's about being ready to grab hold of the information so that you can put it into play in your lives so that we can do our part to help life be a better life for us and for those whom we influence and impact. So if for whatever the reason, you didn't go ahead and put into play some of the information that was shared earlier, go ahead and make a commitment that you'll do it now. You're going to take note, however you do it, tapping into your smartphone, your pads, going old school and pulling out a small notepad and a pen or a pencil and writing down a few notes, however you want to do it, even if you want to just make a quick note in your memory bank, your own mind, your own brain, and just tap a few notes into your own brain. Draw it out a little bit later. That's fine, too. However you want to do it, just put the information into play. All right, so here we go. What steps can we take in order to help us feel happy? You know, one of the things that we've talked about is making sure that we are understanding what happiness is not. And so one of the things that we talked about is this whole myth, if you will, that happiness declines with age. How many of you can think of some older people you know, senior citizens, who have some of the best smiles and some of the happiest stories of people you come across nowadays? Some of the oldest people, not just older, I mean, could you think about it? People in their 40s are older than people in their teens and 20s. But I'm talking about people who are in their 70s, their 80s, and beyond, who seem to smile and laugh more than most people you know, and have some of the greatest one-liners and three-liners about how they just enjoy life. I mean, how to. Not just that they enjoy it, but they tell you how they enjoy life. Yeah, so we took a look at some myths about happiness. And now we're taking, and it's important to know that, because sometimes if we're barking up the wrong tree, if we're traveling the wrong avenue, we're going to end up in the wrong place. And so it's good to know what does not apply to what it is that we're pursuing. All right, so that said, let's take a look at some more of the steps that we can take to deliberately experience happiness. And just, by the way, just another brief footnote so that we can just relax and take in the information. I know sometimes people will say, well, you know, they'll hear someone say, well, yeah, so-and-so made me very, very happy, or such-and-such made me very, very happy. And some people will disagree with that and say, well, no one can make you happy. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, what thoughts come to mind when we say these things. So, you know, when we talk about, when we say someone made us happy, that doesn't mean they forced us to be happy against our will. Nope. We're simply saying so-and-so did something or said something that brought happiness to me, that empowered me to experience happiness. That's all. Not saying that they forced us to experience happiness. But, you know, someone says something that we find amusing and we start laughing. In that moment of hearing and that moment of laughing, we experience happiness. Well, the person didn't force us to experience that happiness against our will. No, they did say something that empowered us, that freed us to experience happiness. And rather than saying they empowered me to experience happiness, we just say they made me happy. So that's where we are. Okay, so what can we do to experience happiness on purpose? Well, one of the things that we can do is pay attention to our bodies. Yeah, just pay attention to our bodies. So, for example, you've heard us talk about progressive muscle relaxation, where we will start with a body part. Some people will say start with your head, work your way down to your feet. Some people will say start with your feet, work your way up to your head, whichever you prefer. And sometimes you may prefer alternating. One day or one evening, starting with your head, working your way down to your feet. On another day, you may prefer to reverse that and start with the feet, work your way up, however you want to do it. But what they're saying here is that you can cultivate this ability to really be aware of your body through what they call body scanning. And what you do is just focus the attention on the various parts of your body. But instead of tensing and relaxing your muscles, as you've heard me say before, you just focus on the way each part of your body feels. And you don't tense and relax at all. Just pay attention to the body part, each body part in its turn. Don't label it as good or bad. Just notice the feeling, the sensation. You can also meditate. Now, how many of you prefer to be sitting when you meditate? How many of you prefer to be lying down when you meditate? How many of you have noticed that your meditation seems to be more effective for you when you walk by meditating? That's one way to do it. And in walking meditation, you focus on the physicality of each step, really paying attention to the sensation of your feet touching the ground, while also paying attention to the rhythm of your breath while moving, and if that wind is blowing at all, Pay attention to the way that wind feels as it blows against your face. I know from time to time as children, we used to do that. We would be out there in the great outdoors, and we might be running. We might be playing Foursquare. How many of you remember playing Foursquare, where you'd get a piece of chalk and you'd draw two lines that formed four spaces that we called squares, and you'd have one person in each square, and you'd have a ball that you'd bounce to each other, bounce, 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 and there were certain rules. You know, the ball couldn't hit the line. It could not hit outside the line. It could hit in your square only once before you had to hit it back to someone else. Foursquare. Of course, we played Twosquare, too, where only two of you playing. One line drawn horizontally, and the two of you hitting that ball back and forth to each other, bouncing it on the ground. It could only hit in your square one time before you had to hit it back across that line. It could not touch the line. And you're just paying attention to what's happening with your bodies. Sometimes you're just running and you're paying attention to the sound of your feet hitting that ground as you run, jog. Same thing in your, you know, sometimes we play that game, you know, you have to jump over these squares in the sidewalk, but you can't touch the lines. And you pay attention to what that felt like, your feet hitting that ground. Well, with Mark walking meditation, you're truly, deliberately paying attention to your feet as they touch the ground. You're paying attention to the rhythm of your breath while moving. And some of you may recall that I've shared with you before. You know, one of the things that we do in exercising, and particularly, not only, but particularly when we're walking, when we're jogging, even when we're doing fast-paced running for exercise, we make sure that in order to be the most efficient at what we're doing and to get the greatest benefit from it, we make sure that we pay attention to the rhythm of our limbs and we pay attention to the rhythm of our breathing, the movement of our lungs, so that the movement of our lungs is in sync with the movement of our limbs, so that everything is moving in harmony. You would be amazed at how much better we run, how much better we jog. And when I say better, again, I'm talking about efficiency, even longevity. You'll find that as you continue to do it more and more and more, you can increase the length of time at which you jog more significantly if your breathing is in sync with the rest of your body's movement, as opposed to you just breathing, 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 and your breathing patterns are ragged and out of sync. They're not harmonious with yourself, much less with the rest of your body. If you get everything synced up, you would be amazed at how much faster and how much further your body will go. So there's something to this whole business of walking meditation, where you're paying attention to your feet touching the ground, the rhythm of your breathing, and the feeling of the wind against your face. I remember those times that we would be outside in the cool of the day when a nice breeze was flowing gently across our faces, across our arms. You notice that what we're talking about here is simplicity. Some of the simple things in life that can bring so much happiness. And if it's simple and free, why not avail ourselves of it, ladies and gentlemen? All right, so that's walking meditation. How about our eating? Think about how much time and how much thought we put into eating and how much a part of our lives we make eating. We have weddings, and food is a part of the equation. Of course, we've got to eat just our regular meals, And, you know, for most of us, the vast majority of us, it's a good idea to eat at least, at the very least, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But how about when we're going to have a meeting and people like to have food and drink as part of the mix? Just a regular meeting, no matter what the meeting is about. A conference. And food and drink are involved. Workshops. Food and drink are involved. We really make eating an important part of our lives, our living. And so as long as that's the case, why don't we make it a practice of really enjoying the experience? So one of the things that we can do is, first of all, make it a habit of not reaching for food just to try to relieve stress. That's not a good idea, because very often when we do that, we can overeat and or reach for the wrong kinds of food. Yeah. And very often when we're under stress and we're eating, whether we're stressing because we have so much to do and we've got to hurry up and finish eating so we can get to the next activity, the next item on our agenda, whether we're stressed because of the madness that is so much a part of life nowadays. Not that this is the only time when stress has been a part of life, but it's definitely a part of life now. And very often when we eat under stress, regardless of what the source of the stress is, we can find ourselves really gulping our meals down real fast, quick, and in a hurry, which is not the best way to eat. So whenever we can, it's a great idea to just practice, to make it a lifestyle, make it a habit of sitting down at the table and just concentrating on the eating experience. Okay, so what are some of the things that we can do to really concentrate on the eating experience? Well, for one thing, we can go ahead and put aside magazines, school books, newspapers, turn off the TV. Don't pull out that smartphone. Push all that aside and just focus on eating. Remember now, we talked about concentrating on eating. So in this whole process of concentrating on eating, what are we doing? Well, we're taking time to just chew our food slowly, which is the best way to eat anyway, and taking the time to really fully enjoy, to really concentrate, to savor those tastes that come from all of those condiments, all of those spices that were put into that food. Maybe even try to identify as many of the tastes as we can that come together to form that one taste. Yeah. All right, more on deliberately being happy in just a few.